You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome in. Very big show today. We appreciate you being here. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. We've got some Blackhawks news to get to right off the top of the show. And then at 3 o'clock, or if you're listening on the audio podcast, about 25 minutes from now, you're going to hear from Blackhawks prospects Kevin Korchinski, Nolan Allen, and Colton Dock, all three of them members of the Seattle Thunderbirds as they head into their playoff series against Kelowna, which begins Friday. Can't wait. Fellas, how we doing?
Looking forward to this show. This should be definitely a great conversation today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's not every day we get to chat with a hockey player, let alone three, and three guys that are really at the top of mind for a lot of Blackhawks fans. You know, we talk about players that could potentially be Blackhawks next season. You know, if you squint real hard, you can see maybe one, maybe two, maybe all three. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. I'm really interested to hear what these guys have to say because they are very, very important prospects as things go with the Chicago Blackhawks. But let's start with the day's news as we wait for those guys to join the show here shortly. The news of the day announced today right at noon. The Blackhawks have agreed to terms with forward Brett Cini on a one-year, two-way contract that runs through next season, obviously $775,000. If you remember, he made his debut this year on January 6th. He had one goal in seven games. He's 27 years old, so not really a prospect. But as we look at what the organization has valued here lately, having depth in Rockford, having options to call up that can hold their own at the NHL, those things have value, and Brett Cini checks both those boxes.
Yeah, he's being rewarded for having a really nice season down in Rockford. He's been one of their leading point producers all season long, more of a veteran guy, but you need those players down in Rockford too for a multitude of reasons. A, to be a little bit of leadership, provide, you know, the offense. Those guys play more consistently than your prospects. And then, as we're going to see next year, there's going to be more legit prospects in Rockford. More of these recent prospects are going to start showing up in the AHL. So when you have a guy like Cini there, not only is he a guy that can provide veteran leadership, help guys acclimate to the pro games, not only on the ice, but off the ice. Some of these guys, they come into an AHL camp, they don't know how to set up a phone bill or pay their rent. They need adults in the room to help them out with things that you wouldn't even think about because that's always been taken care of for them. Mm-hmm. But next season, when we have some more of these prospects playing in Rockford, when you have the inevitable injuries and you need guys to come up for a couple of games, Cini's the guy that can come up, and then you're not throwing a young, inexperienced kid to the wolves where you might hurt his confidence. He could stay in Rockford playing his role, and a guy like Cini can come in and give you 12, 13 minutes on that fourth line and not kill you.
Yeah, I think it's a solid move. It's a depth move. It's reward, like you said, rewarding a guy who has played the role that he was supposed to in the organization this year. He's played it very well. It's good. It's not really gonna push anybody out of the lineup next year. And really, there's so much still to be decided about the lineup anyway. So having a guy like that who could be either a depth NHLer or, you know, in your top lines of your AHL team is totally fine. And he's been good for Rockford this year. So good for him. He's earned it.
Make sure if you're watching us on YouTube, you smash that like button for us. We greatly appreciate that. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel as well. If you're listening on the podcast apps, make sure you are following or subscribe there as well. And if you got a few minutes, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I would greatly appreciate that. We all would. We all would certainly enjoy that. I like your point too, Greg, about how early in the year, if you've got some young players playing in Rockford next year, like let's say potentially Jalen Lapan, somebody like that, and an injury happens and you know he's not NHL ready just yet, maybe towards the end of the year. You also got guys like Ryder Ralston who's going to play in Rockford, and it kind of goes on and on. Landon Slager will probably be there. You know, those are guys who are going to be getting their first taste of professional hockey. You're going to want to give them some time in Rockford to get their feet under them, and having guys like Cini and Gutman and all those kind of like more veteran type AHL forwards, that does help you kind of ease those guys in. And then hopefully eventually, because look, let's be honest, while I don't think next year we're all going to be completely focused on the tank every night of every game, they're still going to be, but they're still going to be one of the bottom, you know, 5 or 6 teams in the league next year. So then later in the year, you start calling up the next little batch of prospects to see what you have and giving them a little bit of a taste as the season goes on. So I like it. There's really no downside to this. Cini seems like a good kid. Good man, I guess is probably the better way to put it. But yeah, I just think you can't have too many of these guys. And it's not just, like you said, Greg, it's not just the on-ice stuff. It's, you know, here's how to make food, right? I heard this from Troy Murray last night, that when Reichel got to Rockford this year, like Alex Vlasic really took him under his wing. And Vlasic's only 21, but he's like, hey, man, you can't just be having, you know, chicky tendies every day. You got to have a nutritious hockey lifestyle. You know what I mean? And he kind of took him under his wings on like how to pay your bills, how to get a phone plan, like all the sort of things you got to do. Those
laundry
guys come in handy. They really come in handy.
Yeah, these are kids that have either lived with a billet house for the last 5 years where it's basically living at home with mom and dad, or you've been in college where your meals are provided for you. And I'm sure the athletic department takes care of all the little things that us normies have to, you know, do every day. It could be a culture shock for some of these kids who's never bought a thing of Tide Pods in their life, and now they don't know how to open the top because I can't even get it open half the time. So when I get it open, I leave it open because I don't have kids here and I'm not going to eat them.
Well, and unfortunately for Reichel, when he got to Rockford, the only German restaurant in town had shut down, so that was unfortunate.
Oh man, what was the only German restaurant?
I don't remember the name. Oh, okay. I looked it up like 2 years ago, and it was like permanently closed. I was like,
I'm surprised they had one.
That's all right. Chalupa is the same in any language.
Yeah. And a former Blackhawk. Got a comment from Bex who says, did you say Landon Slager? Do you know something we don't? He has not signed yet. No, he has not signed yet. Neither has Jake Wise. I saw someone in the chat. Bill asked about that as well. No, but, you know, just talking about guys who could potentially be here. I think it seems like Slager's probably in their plans, don't you think?
I think he's in the plans, and... But I think he's going to go back for his senior year at Notre Dame, because I mean, it's there's no rush on him. And also he didn't really have the best season this year. So maybe, you know, it could be a situation where it's partly like, hey, like I kind of want to, you know, unfinished business, quote unquote. And also too, his dad is the coach. His younger brother is going to be a freshman there next year. Like, you know, he was able to play with his older brother for a few years there, get an opportunity to play with his younger brother too. That's probably more incentive to stick around for one more year, probably be named captain at Notre Dame. Like it's not a bad thing if he doesn't sign this summer. And then, Jake Wise, I mean, his season just ended. Maybe he's getting some time to kind of wind down a little bit from that. But I mean, I think he's kind of one of those tweeners. Like it wouldn't hurt, but also is he just going to be buried anyways? It's an interesting situation.
I mean, that's he's not an NHL plans guy next year either way.
I don't think so.
With all the things you mentioned, it would make sense. If it was me, if I checked all the boxes you just listed from Landon Slager, I'd want to stay at Notre Dame and get the opportunity to play with both your brothers, to play under your, I mean, like, why not? You know,
right?
It's like South Bend, Rockford, like, take your pick. You know, I don't think going back to Notre Dame for a year is going to have any real impact on his NHL future at all.
It's not going to hinder him or anything like that.
Right.
No. Joel's asking in the chat about Artur Kayumov, if he's still on the radar. Maybe he's an older, I've been putting him in the rebuild report because he barely fits the, but he's 25. If it's not happening this, if he doesn't sign this summer, it's probably not happening. His KHL contract ended, as did the season. He signed just a 1-year extension with Lokomotiv last year. So he is going to be technically a free agent. So Blackhawks own his draft rights from way back in 2016. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this summer. And that could be a guy that could be an interesting player if he does come over, because he's got already 6 or 7, 8 years of KHL experience. It's not going to hurt him coming here. So I don't really know for sure if he's still in the plans, but if it doesn't happen, if he re-signs in the KHL, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. And before I tell all the good people about some delicious beer, the Blackhawks also signed another player yesterday. Antti Saarela gets his entry-level contract, a 2-year deal. Greg, you've been following him with the rebuild report. This is another guy who's kind of like been kind of hanging around in Europe for a few years, and now he's finally under contract.
Yeah, he's we talked a little bit about him on the post game last night, because that game was so wonderful. So what else should we talk about? But yeah, he's 21, not as polished as a Kayumov, but he'll come over and he'll probably be one of those young forwards on the Ice Hogs next year, getting acclimated to the game. But he's a 21-year-old forward, has played both center and wing, dealt with some injuries this year. I think he missed about a total of maybe 6 weeks total with 2 separate injuries, came back for the playoffs, had a goal in the postseason, good skater, decent playmaker, got a really good shot. His brother was in the Blackhawks system for literally like 2 months. Alexi Saarela. Yeah, he came over in the Calvin DeHaan trade from the Hurricanes. He won the Calder Cup with the Charlotte Checkers when they beat the Wolves in 2019. And then they traded him to the Florida Panthers because he didn't want to play in the AHL, and that didn't exactly work out for him either. But Antti Saarela should be, I would expect to see him in training camp. Well, he'll most likely be at prospect camp and then training camp. And I expect him to get an AHL season in and maybe add some offense down there.
Well, that'd be fun to see. Give us any new shiny toy to kind of play with and pay attention to.
Yeah.
That's going to be what we're looking for. And if you're looking for something new and shiny and fun to play with, might I suggest picking up some Goose Island beer, because they have some of the best beer and best designs for all of their beer cans, for their deep roster of beer. They are the official beer company of CHGO and Chicago's beer since 1988. Talking about the delicious variety of beers and the beautiful designs that they have. Talk about the Blackhawks Pale Ale, celebrating the Blackhawks this season with their limited release Pale Ale.
Acknowledging the Blackhawks.
Acknowledging their existence this year, yes. The Bull City 312, also a limited release. Their can matching the 2022-23 City Edition Municipal jerseys. It's a great-looking can. I'm sure it's a great-looking jersey. I'm not sure if I've caught it yet. Then you got the Bourbon County Stout, the Beer Hug IPA, the Green Line, the Matilda, and of course, in that nice golden distinguishable can, the 312, the staple of Goose Island's roster. If you want to try any of these beers, you can go to 2 of their local locations because they are open and ready to welcome you. You can get a beer right from their innovation tanks at Goose Island Tap Room, which is located at 1800 West Fulton. Or you can pair a smash burger with your fresh beer of the week at the original Clybourne Brewhouse. That's located at 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and pickup, go to Goose Island GooseIsland.com/locations.
And if you want to grab yourself a Goose Island at a hockey game, you can do that at the United Center. We had our takeover at the Goose Island Pub there, and there are four home games left. And if you want to get in, you know the place to do it is Game Time. They are the hottest new ticketing site, and they make it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you've ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, like 50-yard line, right behind Luke Richardson, courtside at a Bulls game, behind home plate, opening day right here, it's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy, and you will not find a better deal this season on Blackhawks tickets. Tomorrow night, Hawks and Blues at the UC, $18 gets you in the door. Saturday against the really exciting and awesome New Jersey Devils, that's $40 gets you in the door. That's still below face value. Minnesota and Philly wrap up the home season, $18 for the Wild, $19 for the Flyers, and that's only going to go down as the games get closer. So you're going to want to jump on that Game Time app now. They guarantee the lowest price. So if you see it on some jabroni website, if it's somehow cheaper, you contact our friends at Game Time and they will match it. And if you love CHGO, then you're going to love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Get in the habit. When you know you need tickets to something, go click our link, bookmark our link, and you will help us out while you save on your tickets. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all of your favorite events. So there you have it.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yep. Got the Blues in town tomorrow night.
Yeah. That's one of those ones where you, one of those opponents where you're like, yeah, the tank, but I don't want the Blues to feel joy.
Yeah, it'd be nice to beat them. You can't, you're not going to lose all 82.
No.
And I don't think you're going to lose every one of these final games. But if they put up a performance like last night, they probably are going to lose
it. Yeah, but I don't know what the Blues are capable of doing what the Stars did.
Hey, just get under Binnington's skin and anything can happen.
Yeah, we could have a Pudwack moment of the night. Is that something that's been sponsored yet? Maybe for next year. The Pillsbury sure. Pudwack moment of the night or something like that. I don't know.
The Fubo Pudwack moment of the night.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got a few minutes here as we're waiting for our trio of Blackhawks prospects to join us. And in case you missed the show last night, Jonathan Toews spoke after the morning skate for a long, long time and expressed a lot of his feelings about his future. He sounded frustrated. He sounded discouraged, I think would be a way to say it. It does feel like he's going to do everything he can to get back and play the last two or three games this year if he can, at least one more, but very much wrestling with the fact that his time in Chicago is likely up. His NHL career could very well be up, and he said, like, I can force myself to get up and get out of bed and fight through this pain, but he said, quote, to what end? And that's the thing that really stuck with me. So, fellas, now that we're about 24 hours removed, have you gotten any sort of, in terms of your own opinions on what's going to happen with Toews, any kind of more clarity, any sort of, I don't know, you're feeling any differently about it today than you did yesterday, I guess what I would ask?
Not really. The Blackhawks didn't have practice today. So tomorrow's morning skate, we'll see, probably see him out there again. Hopefully that would be a continuing good sign that he's keeping going. But yeah, I mean, it's like we said last night, it's tough to hear. It's tough to hear anybody, even, you know, take the ice hockey career away from who Jonathan Toews is as a player, you know, even just hearing, you know, as a person dealing with these ailments and, you know, not being able to enjoy the life that you had previously experienced, you know, simple things that, you know, he enjoyed doing as part of, you know, his life for the last, you know, 16, 17, 18 years of, you know, being a top tier hockey player was being with teammates and being able to go out to dinners and enjoy those times. And, you know, to be able to have off seasons where you're resting your body in a normal fashion, but you're also, you know, keeping yourself in shape and you know, being able to enjoy those activities. And from what Toews said, it was basically just like, I just, after games, after practices, I'm just going home and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm just trying to let my body heal itself. He's not able to do all those things that he used to, even things that you wouldn't think would, you know, cause a, you know, be physically taxing, like, oh, you're just going out to dinner. Well, it's just what he's going through is like just getting up, getting out, being active in any way,
getting out of bed,
is causing these issues and these flare ups. And, you know, the chronic inflammation or immune response syndrome causes inflammation in his body, and it makes it so everything kind of hurts. And it's not something that I would expect anyone to really be able to kind of like push through, let alone play in the NHL. So what he's been doing is kind of incredible physically and mentally to get through it, just to be able to get through it. So, you know, he said like he feels like more damage is being done than good. I don't know. I still feel like if or when he plays this season to the end of the season, I think that's it. I think that's what he'll finish his NHL career with. And it's tough. It's sad. We talked about it last night. It's just really unfair to see someone whose career was so distinguished and was at such a high level. Think about like that season, the 18-19 and 19-20 seasons. We weren't really talking about like Taze as falling off at all. Like he had his career best season in 18-19, and then 19-20 before everything shut down. Like he was still producing pretty well, even in the bubble, he was still producing. But then it just like, boom, all came crashing down, and it all just lined up with, you know, his health issues.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a guy who is setting the table to announce a retirement soon, and it sucks. It sucks. We talked about it last night. If you didn't hear last night's episode, feel free to go check it out. We also put up a little shorter little segment of it on our YouTube page if you want to check that out too, youtube.com/CHGO Sports. Our guests are standing by. So before we get to them, we want to remind everybody that DraftKings Sportsbook is the official betting partner of CHGO and All City. They've got those great NBA no sweat same game parlays. Opening days tomorrow. Get those preseason wagers in now. There was a boost, a plus 300 boost on everything yesterday. So I got Aaron Judge plus 500 to lead Major League Baseball in home runs. That seemed like free money. It never is, but it felt like it. Get those bets in now before first pitch is thrown. Cannot wait for opening day. It's going to be really, really nice and trash on Friday. So enjoy those games tomorrow. Download the app now and sign up with code CHGO. New customers, you can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
And if you're looking for ways to have a little more spending money to throw in that DraftKings account in case you bet like I do, meaning you don't win very often, you can call our friends at the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program because they're committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve save money and energy. Who doesn't want more money and more energy? I know I do. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last about 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects and that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include an estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy right now. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. Check them out.
And now it gives us great pleasure here on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast to welcome in a trio of guests. They are your Seattle Thunderbirds and your future Chicago Blackhawks. We've got Colton Dock, Kevin Korchinski, and Nolan Allen standing by in Seattle. What's up, fellas? Thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Hey, how's it going?
Everything's great. Everything's great. Thanks for being here.
How's things going with you guys? You got the playoffs getting underway soon.
Yeah, we got playoffs lined up here Friday, just kind of getting in the swing of things, getting our practices in order here, and you know, doing a little team building activities.
Yeah, like Doctor said, we got a little barbecue after this, so a little team building, and wow. Yeah, we're ready to go. We play Kelowna, so it should be fun. We got big aspirations this year.
Oh man, barbecue.
No wonder you guys jumped on a little early. You jumped on a little early so you can get to that barbecue. Totally understand.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have spent a lot of time together. Even before the trades put the three of you guys there in Seattle, you guys have had training camps, development camps here in Chicago, your Team Canada runs as well. How has that previous playing experience together helped build your chemistry that you guys got going on Seattle? Because obviously it's working for you guys up there.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously, like even before the Hockey Canada, we're all at development camp together, and I think that just, you know, helps us bond. And like you said, we're together here, we're together in Hockey Canada. It's nice to be around these guys. I mean, they're really good guys. They're both, you know, upbeat, funny guys to hang around with. So it's been a pleasure for sure.
Yeah, I think just playing with each other has been awesome. Like you want to play with your friends, the guys that you know, and two really good hockey players. So since we've got them, we've been rolling really well. So it's been awesome to have them and just be around the room with them.
Yeah, like Kev said, getting to know these guys, you know, through the Blackhawks and over the summer. So it's nice to actually get to play a year with them here, and you know, hopefully stick together for a long time coming.
Earlier this year, fellas, we headed to Notre Dame to go see Landon Slaggart and Ryder Ralston play. We were also scouting Adam Fantilli. They were playing Michigan, and we got to catch up with Ralston after the game, and he really praised the Blackhawks' development system in terms of, you know, being in touch with you guys, communicating a clear plan of development. What has your experience been, you know, playing in the Western Hockey League now? What level of contact have you had with the development folks at the Blackhawks?
I think they do an outstanding job. I think that's one of the first things I kind of realized with them last year coming back to junior. You know, right away, they were, you know, reaching out, and they were coming down to watch my first few games and do video of those games and kind of just go over some goals that, you know, I wanted for myself and to see where I can strive to be. And I think they do an outstanding job with that, and reaching out over the summer as well, just in case, you know, we need anything, you know, on or off the ice. They do a really good job with staying in touch with us.
Yeah, like Docker said, I'd agree with everything. Like they're awesome at just helping you find the little things you want to improve in your game, and just whether it's video, whether it's just kind of talking about your games and coming down, and they're really supportive of you. So that's exactly what you want, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, there's so many resources. I mean, you know, you look at on the ice, you can do videos with you know, player development guys, or there's you know, we got nutritionists and you know, Christian to help with off ice workouts and just stuff like that. I mean, there's resources for everything, which is super nice.
So, you know, so specifically, you mentioned nutrition, Nolan. Did they talk to you about like what parts of your game they want you to work on? Like, hey, we want you to work on your edge work, or your, you know, your defensive positioning, or your play in front of the net. Are they giving you specific things to work on, or do they sort of leave that in the hands of your coaches in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, they leave a little bit in the hands of the coaches here, obviously, you know, letting them do their job. But, you know, with video and when they come watch, they're always given, you know, little tips and pointers, whether it be showing you video on defensive positioning, like you said, or it's different for every guy. Yeah. So, but they definitely do that.
Yeah, just like for me, like just kind of working on my stick. That's something that they kind of brought to my notice, is not having it kind of like swing too much. So just little things like that maybe you don't notice in your game that when you watch the game, you can kind of notice and see that, hey, that's something you can improve on. It's just little things like that. Obviously, we have some of the best coaches in the league, and they know so much about the game. So they kind of teach us every day and just kind of try and get us to the pro level. It's awesome.
No, it's not too typical to have, you know, a bunch of teammates all, you know, at least three guys all on the same junior team that are under the same NHL organization. So, Kevin, you started the year. You've been in Seattle for a while now. What was it like kind of as the season progressed, and then, you know, Nolan joined the fold, and then after the trade deadline, Colton joined in? Like, what was that process for you, having been the, you know, the guy that was already there in Seattle, and then Nolan and Colton, what was it like kind of as that process happened to becoming teammates and now being on a pretty loaded Seattle team?
Yeah, I think at the start of the year, we had really big aspirations. We had a really good team. And then once we started adding players, it just kind of took off and we got one of the best teams in the CHL. So, yeah, when you get the kind of news you're training for, whether it's Al or Doc, or you get really excited. That's a really good hockey player and somebody who's your friend. So, yeah, it was just really exciting once those moves got announced, once we were told. And just knowing the guys previously, I can kind of reach out and just kind of let them know what our goals are and just what it's going to be like. So, yeah, it was awesome having them. I'm happy we made those deals. They paid off huge for us.
Have you fellas been keeping an eye on what's going on in Chicago? I know you saw all the trades going on. I know Colton, for sure, you had a connection in Chicago. We'll get to that a little bit later as we go on with the conversation. But I think as prospects, you guys can look at the situation here and say, hey, like the door's open for all of us to potentially make the team as quickly as next year. Is that motivating? Is it intimidating? What's it like to have that kind of that apple, waiting for you next year at prospect camp?
Yeah, I think, like you said, like our goal ever since we were young, I just know if these guys, without even asking them, their goal was to make the NHL. So, that's what, every Canadian kid and a hockey player, when they're growing up, that's what they want to do. So, obviously we're gonna give it our best every time we're out playing hockey or in the gym training, just trying to make that goal become a reality and stick in the NHL as well, not just be there for a little bit up and down and try and become a good professional.
What you guys got an interesting first round playoff matchup there, especially for Colton facing I can already tell this is gonna be a fun one for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely nice to be on this side of it, for this year. Last year I was on the other side of it and didn't go our way. So if you can't beat them, join them. But yeah, it's it's gonna be a great time. Obviously, this team, we're trying to do something special here, so we're really looking forward to it. And this first round couldn't have lined up better for us.
All right, we've got our first question from the audience here, and they paid to ask it, so I got to ask it. Kevin, new schooler, is asking what number you might wear in Chicago, so we can grab your jersey.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I've worn 14 all my life, but I guess not really on my mind too much right now. It's trying to make the team, you could say. So yeah, probably 14 though, if I could choose.
Oh, are you abandoning 55 that quickly? Oh, man. 55 is a great number, man.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, but no, I've rocked 14 my whole life.
All right, what about Colton, Nolan, how about you guys with jersey numbers? Any thought to it?
I'd like to, growing up, like you guys saw with Kirby, he was 77. Like we were always, had a 7 in our number. So I think, I'd kind of like to stay with that, whatever kind of goes. But, I don't really care about the jersey, the number. I just, want to play in the NHL.
Yeah, I haven't put too much thought in it. I mean, I'm 2 here, and I don't think I'll be able to wear that in Chicago. So, I have no idea. No,
Eric Weinrich would never allow that.
Well, Colton, if you stick with 77 when you get here, a lot of people will be happy they can bust out their old jerseys again. They'll be like, hey, I got a new jersey a second time.
Yeah, I think that'd save a lot of people a lot of money, but don't know if Kirby would be happy with that one. So,
well, I want to ask you about that. I know, one of the coolest things we saw in the last few years is the day the Hawks drafted you, and then Kirby basically runs in a room and tackles you. He's so excited to see you get drafted and gives you his jersey with the name on it and everything, that weird, pandemic draft. What was it like for you to hear that he moved on to Montreal? I know it must have been tough.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the hardest things to, to get over. And I actually still remember, the entire day leading up to it. It was just, we're on the golf course. We come home, take a nap, and I wake up to, him telling me he was traded. So, it was definitely a shock for me and my family. And when Kirby was drafted there, we thought that was going to be, he's going to play there his whole career. And we were really looking forward to it. And then when I was drafted there, we were kind of, that's when we kind of really got close, and it was, it was a special bond between us, and we were going to play together and play our future of hockey together. And, when that was kind of taken away, it was a little hard on us and our family.
about how's he doing in Montreal? Is he? I know he's playing well. The numbers have been there. I know he's battled some injuries, but is he finding his way there? Is he happy?
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest things I kind of noticed with him is, you know, his attitude. He was really happy, and he was very fortunate to get the opportunity. He's getting there now, and he's, you know, it's a great group for him. You know, there's a lot of young guys on there, so they're doing a really good job of bonding and gelling together, you know, off the ice, and you can kind of see it how it translates back onto the ice.
One of the things we talk about a lot when talking about him and a lot of the prospects that were here before Kyle Davidson and Luke Richardson arrived is some of them sort of felt rushed. I'm not going to spend the whole day talking about Kirby, but it's interesting to everybody because everybody really liked him here. And I feel like a lot of people think he might have been rushed a little bit. And I think he felt a lot of pressure to perform right away. And maybe that change of scenery, and you could verify this better than anybody, did the change of scenery kind of lift that weight off his shoulders of, okay, I don't have to live up to the expectations of being the third overall pick. I can just go be Kirby Doc again.
Yeah, I think for him, though, the first 3 years, you know, like that's, you know, his first year, he's playing as an 18-year-old. There's a lot of pressure there. Second year, he's coming off, an injury. There's a lot of pressure for him to produce there as well. And then third year is his contract year. So, you know, he kind of had 3 huge years of a lot of pressure and a lot of stuff on his shoulders. And, you know, I think that change for him, you know, whether if he did stay in Chicago or if he moved on that fourth year, I think we all knew that was going to, you know, this was going to be his year to come through and shine and show everyone that, you know, he can be that top guy on the team.
Well, talking about, you know, pressure, and with the Blackhawks and this market and where the team is at right now, I think there is maybe a sense that some of that pressure has kind of released a little bit. And I don't know if you guys see it either, you know, through social media or whatnot, but there's in Chicago, there's a big sense of, you know, investment and excitement for the future. And do you guys see that from Blackhawks fans, you know, either in your mentions or comments or anything like that on social media? Like, is that something that you guys are kind of sensing already, even before being here, that like there is a big sense of excitement for what's next for the organization and you three being likely big parts of it?
Yeah, all right, well, yeah, I think we got a lot of good prospects and got a really good direction going, got a really good thing going as an organization, so obviously that's huge, and you got to get excited for that, and that kind of just going forward, you're just going to kind of trend upwards and just get better and better. So yeah, a lot to be excited for, and it's hopefully gonna be really special.
What's on the docket for the barbecue? I see you guys keep looking to your left. Like, is like the grill fired up right over there? Or are you guys deferring to Nolan, the veteran? Like, are we allowed?
Yeah. We just don't know who's answering the questions.
The six person weave is a fun way to do a podcast. But so this is a pre playoff, you know, kind of loosening up celebration you guys are having a barbecue and stuff.
Yeah, just a little team bonding. We want to have a really tight group. We already have a tight group, but just a bit of team bonding before we get into kind of the thick of things. You got a really busy schedule coming up. So, yeah, just kind of some guys time and just talk, kind of play games outside and stuff like that. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you guys are a tight-knit group, and we saw last week the team sort of on their own decided to wear the pride tape pregame in support of Luke Prokop, who's a teammate of yours. Talk about the decision to kind of do that as a team without any sort of prompting from the organization. It seemed like a team decision. You guys all got together and did it, and that made waves here, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think obviously with Luke, you know, and everything going on, you know, everyone's included, and you know, in today's day and age, you know, there's nobody's going to be excluded from trying to play hockey or any sport for that matter. And yeah, like you said, with Luke, we want to show him that, you know, we support him and we have his back on, you know, on everything. And I think that was a great job by all of us and all the staff, coaching staff, wearing some rainbow ties as well to show their support for him as well.
Yeah, like Docker said, I think everybody in this organization supports Luke, and just hockey should be for everybody. Like, hockey's been the thing that kind of brought the most joy in my life. So taking that away from somebody for any matter, shouldn't be right. So, yeah, anyway, we can kind of support. That's what we want to do as a team.
We were able to talk to Jalen Lipin, who was a teammate of his in Edmonton, and he talked about how, you know, just having Luke in the locker room made such a difference to so many guys. You know, for a lot of them, it was kind of their first opportunity to know somebody part of the LGBTQ community, you know, and knowing Luke and how he really just opened their eyes to the whole thing. What's it been like to have him as a teammate?
Luke's been awesome. I mean, he's a veteran presence in our room, and, you know, everyone respects him in our room, you know, just with everything he's gone through and, you know, the experience he brings, I guess. So, you know, he's a huge part of our team and a huge voice in the room for sure.
Yeah, like, he's my D partner, and we work well together. Just, like, having him in the room, like, it's been awesome. Like, I think, like Al said, everybody respects him. Everybody listens to him. He's one of the nicest guys, and you can kind of talk to him about anything. So it's been awesome having him. He's made a huge impact on our team, and he's done great things for hockey as a whole, just kind of telling his story and getting kind of the hockey community involved with all of it.
You know, one of the things we've really enjoyed this season being around the Blackhawks and covering them is been talking to head coach Luke Richardson. You guys got a little bit of exposure to him in training camp and development camp, but he loves breaking down the X's and O's of hockey. Like, I think that he breaks down defensive plays in his sleep. How exciting is that for young players, knowing that eventually you're going to get to have a guy that just makes it simple and explains everything and is a great communicator? You know, how is that for you guys coming up, knowing that you're going to have a coach like that?
Yeah, I think definitely for me, there was, you know, at camp, I was out with a concussion, so I wasn't always in the meetings or doing the practices for, you know, for these guys, you know, drawing up the plays and showing what kind of systems they're running. So I think for me, the one thing that sticks in my mind is when I first came back, you know, he pulled me aside and he actually drew out like every little detail and talked to me one-on-one and let me know I'm okay to ask questions and, you know, don't be nervous, just go out there and, you know, if I have questions, ask them. I think that was super important for me and to get out there and to do that, and for him to do that, that was awesome, and I'm really thankful that you know, that he was there.
Colt, we saw you with during the preseason find a little bit of chemistry with Lucas Reichel, and we've seen him here for the last handful of games. He's gotten his another call up, and he's probably played the best stretch. What's it been like to play with Reichel? I know it's a really short amount of time you got to play with him, that's for sure, but that's kind of the guy who, of all the prospects arriving, he's going to be the first one here. So what can you tell us as a guy who's shared a line with Lucas Reichel, what kind of player he is?
Yeah, well, obviously you guys watch him. He's a very good skater. He's very, very gifted offensively. I think that's probably the biggest thing. He is, you know, when the puck is in his hands, there's a very high percentage chance it's going to go in the back of the net. So playing with him was unreal. And, you know, he's a guy that he can find you and he can put the puck in the net. So, you know, when we were playing together there in the rookie tournaments, it was, you know, it was very, very good, you know, giving him the puck and just kind of find open space for him to give it back to you, because you know he's going to try and find you. So I think that worked well for us.
I can't help but notice you guys got, you know, the three backwards hats. Are you hiding any playoff mullets under there or anything like that? Or you guys got some team building thing that you guys are going to do, playoff beards? I think Nolan's got the early jump on that.
Yeah, I got a little jump on the beard department right now, but I think Kev's going to have a mullet after tonight. Yeah. So,
man.
Some of the guys are getting them. Al might get one too, so we'll see.
Gotta do it for the team.
Yeah, I just got my first actual haircut in a while, so I'm trying to hide it for a bit here.
I'll let it grow back.
Haircuts are overrated.
Yeah, you can talk to Greg about that. So, you know, since you guys have been, you know, teammates this year, you know, you've obviously known each other a little bit through being prospects, but now being teammates, I got to ask a couple good teammate questions. Who is the worst DJ in the locker room? Like, when you guys give the music over, who's the worst of the three of you?
The worst three? Oh, I never play music in the locker room.
I was gonna say we're not really on that department. But I mean, if I had to guess, it'd be Kevin.
Oh yeah, it's just plays country stuff.
It's just a good guess. Good, yeah, I think it's just a good guess to go with Kevin. You never know.
Nice, nice. So I guess on music, one thing I've always wondered about with warm-ups, it seems like a lot of warm-up music tends to be like this, like house music, like remixes and stuff. Do you guys get amped for that, or is there like, do you have any control over that, like with the, you know, with the music for Seattle at your home place? Do you say like, hey, can you play XYZ a little bit more or a little bit less of this? Like what gets you guys jazzed before a game?
I don't know who runs our warm-up playlist.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
One of the better for the teams in the league, but I think it's...
Yeah, no, I think those warm-up tunes are good. I think those kind of, like you said, like the remixes ones, I think it gets a lot of the guys going, a lot of the juices flowing. And I think the music is a big part of preparation for hockey players, I think, in the dressing room and then warm-ups. You know, just kind of get that... get that feel, get that amp up. And yeah, like a lot of some guys, sometimes we switch to the old rock and roll, you know, a little bit of Nickelback, and that gets the guys going as well.
Old rock and roll is Nickelback, I'm sure Greg and Terry.
Oh boy,
call that new music.
Stuff from my 30s.
Exactly. We got some questions from the chat we want to get to. You guys have been super generous with your time. We're going to let you go here like 30-40 minutes from now, so just hang tight. No, we just got a couple more. We have one from Bex, and Bex wants to know, what are your official locker room nicknames?
Yours is Docker, Porch, and Big Al.
Big Al. Simple.
Yeah. Big Al, that's good. It's like it's hard to add the ER to yours, Nolan. You can't be like Noller, Aller. It just seems like it's such an easy way to do it.
No, he got Big Al stuck to him a month ago when he started dropping the gloves and beating up a few guys. So
there you go. You got to get playoff ready. That's for sure.
Yeah. Got to top you up.
If in doubt, just throw the ER on there and you're good to go. And what's the – someone asked this earlier in the chat. I missed who said it. I'm sorry. But have you noticed – I know Seattle, you know, new in the league, in the NHL. Have you noticed like a big hockey buzz in town? Are people really jumping in on the Kraken? Seems like it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the city's buzzing around hockey. I know here we actually get – really good fans. I mean,
yeah,
quite a good turnout each night, and the fans are all into it. So it's, our fans are awesome here.
Yeah, I think just like we were downtown, and there's just a lot of like kind of like Kraken merchandise and just stuff like that. So and a lot of the billets, they go to all the games and have season tickets. So I think it's just kind of thing that's kind of helping us in Seattle with the Thunderbirds having the Kraken as a team. It's kind of making more buzz around the city.
All right, we got one more, and then we'll let you get to that barbecue. I know you're not going to be focusing on the NHL playoffs for a little while, at least. You got your own playoff run that hopefully ends with a few days in Kamloops. But when it comes down to watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, now there's no wrong answer here because the Blackhawks won't be there. What team are you going to be pulling for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I mean, I got the Oilers. I mean, I'm from Edmonton, so I'll probably go to a few of those games if they're still playing when we're back, and hopefully they do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look, but we'll probably do playoff brackets as a team, so whatever one I pick to win, that's what we're
doing. I'm with Docker too. I watched the Oilers growing up, and you know they're kind of close to where I'm from, so. Probably watch them. Watch McDavid. Yeah,
I'll see McDavid. Yeah, you could do worse. You could do worse than watching Connor McDavid. That's always a good time.
All right, wait. We've gotten through this entire show. You guys have had the chance to play with Connor Bedard. You've got to tell us what it's like, because that's the guy. After, just so you guys know, we do a post game show after every show, and then to end the show, we end it with a draft like a draft lottery simulation. Because we're just chomping at the bit to have Connor Bedard come to Chicago. So those of you that have played with him, let us know what it's like.
Yeah. You know, for me, definitely. I actually never met him before I went there. And about a week before we went to camp, I played versus him. And, you know, going into that game, I was really adamant on not letting him get a point or, you know, do anything. And I was trying to get him, shut him down or whatever. But when I finally got to meet him, you know, he was – what he does off, on the ice is, you know, incredible. Everyone sees, but you know what he does off the ice is, you know, what sticks out to me. I think he doesn't need to be that guy, but he is that guy who, you know, reaches out and talks to everyone and sees how they're going and what's going on. And with me, when I separated my shoulder, like, he didn't have to come and talk to me during those game days. He had other stuff to focus on, but, you know, just come reaching out and seeing how I was doing and what was going on, just sitting there and chatting with me. You know, that was huge. That was a big thing I noticed with him.
Yeah, like Doc said, his high character. He's a guy that kind of dedicates his life to hockey. He doesn't take any shortcuts. He does everything you need to do to be the best, you could say. So, and yeah, obviously, his play on the ice. He's got kind of everything he can dish. The fuck, he's got that shot, that vision, skating. He's got everything. So, and yeah, I think it's just a testament to his hard work. And that's something that he just, like I said, dedicates life to. So, yeah, if the Hawks talking to be great, I think he's gonna be a hell of a player in the NHL.
Yeah, like these guys said, I mean, obviously I hope Chicago gets that first overall pick so they can take him. But yeah, it's crazy.
So do we.
Guys on the ice, I mean, trying to defend him in the practice when he's coming down on you on camp, you're kind of a little bit nervous when he's coming down on you. But you know, like these guys said, he's even a better guy off the ice, which is the best part about him.
That's great to hear. And if he gets to Chicago, he's going to have to break that streak of never having junk food. Because it's just, he's just not going to have a choice here. There's no way. Yeah. All right, fellas, we want to thank you for your time. You've been incredibly generous. Thank you so much. Good luck against Kelowna. Game start on Friday. Colton Dock, Kevin Korchinski, Nolan Allen. There is a trio of the future of the Chicago Blackhawks. Can't wait to see you guys in town this summer and hopefully in the fall as well. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Take care.
Enjoy that barbecue.
I want to go to the barbecue.
Yeah. Speaking of junk food, let's get some of that WHL barbecue.
Hey. Yeah, what's on the menu? I wonder.
Whoa,
I wonder what the menu is on that. Ever since they talked
probably
about
a lot
that,
of probably a lot of about. Chicken breasts and you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine they got like a big thing of pulled pork and.
Yeah, it's probably not brisket and mac and cheese and mashed potatoes and cornbread.
Chicken breasts and impossible burgers.
They're just growing up eggplant.
Not a bun in sight.
It's probably cauliflower mac and cheese with chickpeas and stuff.
That was really good. A couple things stood out to me is how definitive they were about the Luke Prokop and the pride tape display. Why wouldn't we do that? Like, of course we're going to do that. Like, everyone deserves a chance to play this game. And like, it was just such a no brainer for them. And I don't know if it's a generational thing or because they're teammates with Prokop, but the three of them were like, of course, why wouldn't we do that? Of course, we're going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, like we've kind of had these conversations this past week or so. And, you know, I always kind of come back to the fact that, you know, kind of the generation behind us is that thinks differently. And I think that that's kind of going to be where I think we see a lot of change and progress in hockey. And I think, you know, even this, as much as the headlines have been grabbed by kind of the negative around the LGBTQ plus community in hockey, there's been a lot of positive that's come out too. There's been a lot of teams that have done really well at the NHL stage, and a lot of guys, specific players, Kyle Okpozo, Matthew Tkachuk, Rasmus Dahlin, like these guys that, like, you know, we're actually coming out and being vocal.
Zach Hyman, too.
Zach Hyman, Connor McDavid, like what bigger voice do you need in the NHL to be vocal and be supportive than Connor McDavid? Like, it's, I think there's been a lot of positive that just unfortunately hasn't gotten as much light, but I think it definitely should. And I think there's some hope in the future. Both off and on the ice. I think these guys, it's fun to talk with them. It's fun to get their, you know, get their perspective for where they're at, you know, in their seasons in Seattle, which, I mean, look up and down the roster in Seattle. Like, there is just tons of talent there. Like, I'd be shocked if they're not playing well into May and June, and maybe even challenging for a Memorial Cup. Like, that would be a lot of fun to see for those guys.
For sure. That was a lot of fun. There's there's a lot of talent coming up through the Blackhawks prospect system, but there also seems to be some good character coming through too. And that's three examples of it. And that's just as important, if not more important than the talent, is having good guys. And you got some good chemistry working with those three. It's going to be fun to get them here. And hopefully they come up through the ranks together. I got a sneaky feeling that if Colton Dock becomes a long time NHLer here in Chicago, he's going to be a favorite of both the fans and the media. I think that's a quote waiting to happen right there. could have some fun with him over the next few years.
I also appreciated their polish, as they were referring to each other, so you knew who was going to talk next. And I was like, they're doing our job for us.
Yeah, we were worried about the audio only version of this, but I think we got. Yeah, they've had some training up there in Seattle. That's for sure.
Yeah,
they're ready to go. I've talked to enough kids through the AHL to know that these guys know they're going to be meeting media for a long time. So they're getting it in now. So that was really great stuff.
I thought it was cool how Korchinski and Doc kept looking over at Nolan Allen, like he was like they were getting permission.
Well, he is the only one with the beard, so.
And I have to say, and maybe it's just me, does he bear a striking resemblance to Tuomo Ruutu a little bit?
No one. Yeah, a little bit.
They kind of look alike. Maybe it's because I'm always thinking about Tuomo. That could be why.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to trust your opinion on the Tuomo Ruutu because that's your guy. I couldn't pick Tuomo Ruutu out of a freaking lineup right now if I wanted to.
All right.
Yeah, sorry. It's been a while since I've had to watch him.
He does a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's only fresh in my mind because I fired up the old original Xbox and was playing some NHL 07 the other night.
So he looks at least like a pixelated Tuomo Ruutu.
Yeah. Well, they got the headshots in there. So yeah. I was like, that's a refresher for me.
Yeah. Nolan Allen definitely has that. If you ran into him, had no idea who he was, and you just ran into him at some random Starbucks or whatever, you'd be like, that guy probably plays hockey.
Or at a barbecue.
He's got that look. Maybe they weren't looking at Nolan. Maybe they were looking at the baked beans or something getting put out.
Some food was coming out at one point.
Teammates were probably teasing them with hot dogs and burgers. Like, look at us eating. Well, you got to talk to these clowns in Chicago.
Nerfin says, Greg, I only counted five. Well, obviously, he's in that interview. But I could have missed a few. Five shots isn't that bad, though. So there you go.
It's not too bad. You can get through that at lunch and go back to work if you wanted to.
I was also excited about how much they like Connor Bedard as a dude. Like, that was, the fact that he's like, oh, yeah, he's down to earth and we'll talk to you and check in on you. He doesn't have this, like, I'm here and you're here sort of a feeling, which is true. That's kind of the case. But the fact that he doesn't have that attitude is huge. And if a kid comes in and is a Jag, that doesn't go over well with guys. So, I mean, everything you hear about the kid is he's going to be just great. And it's good to hear that the off-ice stuff with Bedard is just as good. So,
yeah, I mean, for a guy like that to be, as a 16, 17-year-old and then into his draft year, be named captain of his junior team. Like, sometimes those are just handed over. You're the best player, so you're the captain. But I get the sense with Bedard that it was a little bit more than that. Like, he's actually got, some high quality characteristics that as a person, it's a good thing. And that's to Greg's point earlier, quality character is something that Kyle Davidson is definitely put an emphasis on. And I think, with Bedard, you're probably gonna get it. With Fantilli, I think you're gonna get it as well. And those three guys too, like Colton Dock before he was traded was captain in Kelowna. Nolan Allen before he was traded was captain with Prince Albert. Korchinski's been a leader, either wearing a letter or not. Like, he's a leader in the Seattle locker room. Like, those guys have a little bit of the it factor when it comes to being young guys, but being able to be, leaders of their peers, which is really important. So I think, it's no coincidence that, all three of them are in the Blackhawks system and all three of them are pretty good leaders on and off the ice.
Yeah. Yep.
As we've noted many times in our rebuild reports throughout the season, there's a lot of letters within the Blackhawks prospect system on the front of the jerseys. So that's good. You know, when you've got guys who are 17, 18 years old that are willing to take on leadership roles, that's just tells you that it's team first mentality. And it's exciting. And to hear them talk about Connor Bedard makes me want the Blackhawks to lose every game from here on out even more to give us the best shot at that. Because you know you're getting the all-world talent, but it sounds like you're getting an all-world human being too, and that's awesome stuff.
Yeah, Nolan Allen flat out said it. I hope the Hawks get the first overall pick so we can play with them.
Me too.
Yeah, same, dude.
You're not alone in that, Big Al. You're not alone.
You and me both.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the mullets.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
That was keen of you. I thought they were just, you know, because I picked my daughter up at school, and every boy in of that, you know, tween age, 12, 13, 14, they've all got the hat on backwards and the, you know, so I didn't make much note of it. But yeah, you caught on to that quick, Mario. Well done.
Well, I just figured, you know, it's juniors playoffs time. Usually it's either team mullets or beards, or they dye their hair, bright white. Yellow, like Eminem used to have it. Like, they all do something.
They can't funky. Do the beards. They're a little too. Most yeah, of them
not
can't
all
do
of
the
them
beards.
Can. Yeah, not all of them can.
I don't.
There's a lot of NHL players that can't do playoff beards. So that's true. They do something with the hair.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it took Jonathan Toews about to the 15 run before he could actually fill in his entire beard.
That's true. Before the chin strap connected.
I did like the Wolverine though. The Wolverine looked good on him.
Yeah, the Civil War look. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, that was a lot of fun. Mario made that happen. Great work, Mario. Thank you. Here's the deal. If you enjoyed that podcast, we're going to ask you to smash that like button as we always do. We're going to ask you to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. We're going to ask you to subscribe on the podcast apps as well. But a special challenge today. If you love that episode, or there is an episode of this podcast that you love, share it with one friend that you know will enjoy it. A Hawks fan friend, a hockey fan friend, a Seattle Thunderbirds fan that you know. Share this episode and let them know about us. That's our challenge to you for today. Share the episode with at least one friend. We would greatly appreciate that. And with that, we're going to wrap things up. We're going to be back tomorrow night after the Hawks and Blues tangle at the United Center. And we'll talk to you after the game. And one final reminder that DraftKings Sportsbook is the official betting partner of CHGO in all city. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. So for Greg and Mario, I'm Jay. We're going to wrap things up on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.